Welcome into the Midday Show here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on a Trillville Thursday. It's Abe Gordon filling in for Andy Bunker. Randy McMichael, as always, hanging out. What's going on, Randy?
What's happening, man?
I had to give myself
a quick prayer real quick.
That early?
Man. Yeah, that early, man. I had to give myself a quick prayer this morning and everything. But, man, yeah, good to be up in the house with you. Appreciate you feeling. Andy had some personal stuff he had to deal with this morning. So, man, it'll be me and Abe kicking it on this beautiful, beautiful Thursday here in the A. As, you know, we get ready, Braves hopefully can win another series and not tie a series with the Reds. But also another collapse in the NBA
finals.
My
goodness.
And then you asked me in the bullpen about the last game. I was like, at the first quarter, I went to bed. Because that didn't make no sense.
The writing was on the wall pretty quickly for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Hopefully, we'll get a chance to talk to the remaining draft picks because it is rookie minicamp up there and Flowery Branch today for the Falcons. So hopefully we'll get the chance to speak to some of the rookies in the 1 o'clock hour.
Yeah, potentially Xavier Watts, Billy Bowman Jr., and Jack Nelson. We could get all three. We might get none. Might be hanging over with Dukes and Bell. So we'll see how that falls out over the course of the day. I got an interesting thing coming for you at 12:20, and I'm surprised I got nine of them. I was surprised I got as deep as I did with quarterback questions in the NFL. And you would think there's only one or two, but I got a bunch of them. So we'll get to that in the noon hour. But I want to start here with the Atlanta Braves. Last night, 4-3, they fall to the Reds. And once again, unable to get to 500. Grant Holmes struggled through it. Didn't have his best stuff. I actually thought he did relatively well to get deep enough into this game to where you're not burning your bullpen. He gave up two home runs to the leadoff hitter, seven hits and four runs pitching into the sixth inning. They fought and battled, but he just didn't have his best stuff. I think we've seen that. I think that's allowable, especially after the outing he had against the Dodgers. Drake Baldwin with a solo home run.
It seemed like he had solo home runs. It seems like
Austin Riley hits two-run bombs.
Yes.
And everyone else.
Yes.
Literally everyone else
hits solo
is solo
home runs.
Ozzie, yeah. Olsen, Drake Baldwin. Solo home runs, man. And that's one of the big issues right now for the Atlanta Braves is that offense has gone quiet. They haven't scored more than four runs since that second game in Colorado. Maybe that's fine for other teams. They've got one win all year when scoring less than four, and that came in Tuesday's 2-1 walk-off win.
Yeah, I mean, they are, it's just typical of what this season has been for the Braves, just up and down, inconsistent offense. But, they're in a position where they can still find a way to win this series and, continue their climb. Because I think, what was the question I asked to Grant yesterday when they went to the World Series? When did they get over 500? Like in August?
Oh, it was deep into the summer.
Deep into the summer and everything. So that's why I said there's no reason to panic. I think people always take panic for like pointing out the fact they're not playing. Oh, you're in panic. Oh, no. Just point out the fact they're not playing at their full capacity. But Grant Holmes struggled, but like you said, he went long enough. I thought he was gonna get pulled a little earlier.
I could have seen him pulled in the third,
but you saw Schnitt just wanted to let him go, and also not necessarily have to tax out the bullpen. And when he cut the lead 4-3, I was like, okay, here we go, we got something going. And then obviously they didn't have anything going.
I thought they had a shot when Hunter Green got pulled. He had to leave the game early due to injury. I was like, all right, like
they got something going, because Andy pointed out this dude can can go.
Yeah, and I was like, all right, like Grant Holmes is kind of held. It's four, but Hunter Green's out. Let's see what happens. Slowly but surely, they started to find their way back into it, but ultimately just wasn't enough there. This is their second attempt to get back to 500.
Yes.
I don't believe this. I don't think that you believe this. But if it happens again, someone's going to say it. Is getting to 500 like some mental block, some hurdle?
No.
Okay.
No.
I don't think so either.
No.
Bo's shaking his head because I know, Bo, you're on the same side.
No.
Someone's going to say it. No. They just can't get over that mental block of being 500.
Pretty scary number, that 500.
It's difficult.
It's, average record, it's pretty just scared. Ooh. No.
You mentioned it is a four-game series. So, look, you can take a 3-1 series win. I'll take that. And you got a chance to do that. I do wish it was a day game. I really do like the day games on getaway days, whatever. Mostly because now I just got to kill hours until it's it's time for first pitch.
But, right.
Nick Lodolo against Spencer Schwellenbach.
Schwellen needs a good one.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
We need a good one from him, man, because, I mean, he was like on fire to start the year, kind of been a little sporadic these last few starts. Yeah, we'd love to see him go out and have a nice start for them today. And also, I mean, just the offense, go up there and give him, you know, somebody do something, do some good stuff for him offensively. But, yeah, for Schwellen to go out there and have a nice seven-inning, 8-9 strikeout game, I think that'd be perfect for him.
Yeah, he's had a couple of setback starts here, and I just – some people will look at what he did to start the year and say, oh, boy, that was a fluke. And some people will say what he did with the year and the skill set and the tools that he has and says, these last two starts were a fluke or three starts, however it's been. I don't think it's really either. Like I don't think the start of the season for him was a fluke. I also don't think these last couple of starts was a fluke. I think there have been some adjustments made by batters and teams in their approach to facing Schwellenbach. I also think he just hasn't ultimately been sharp. And I think we learned last year, like what you saw with Chris Sale, you got to be good when you're not sharp.
Right.
And I think that's what helped Chris Sale be the pitcher he was a year ago. And I think Schwelly is still figuring some of those things out. You got to remember how young he is.
Exactly.
In terms of major league experience.
Sale's been through the battles. He's been through the wars. He knows how to get through. You know, get through stuff like this. Well, he's, like you say, he's still just a relatively young pitcher that's really, you know, still, hell, he ain't nowhere near figured it out yet.
And by the way, it's the same thing for A.J. Smith-Shawver.
Exactly.
Now, I think you would say that their trajectories were kind of flipped. Shawver had a ton of struggles early on, is maybe now figuring it out. And Schwelly had almost no struggles immediately. Now he's got a couple of those and has to figure it out. But yeah, definitely looking for a bounce-back start for him. I think it would calm a lot of people's nerves in regards to his future. And not like long-term future, but just the season.
Oh, okay.
I think people are like already panicking about like, Schwelly was carrying us and now he's gone. He's done for. I'm like, I don't know, man. Is he done for, or did he have a couple starts with some hiccups? Like, so did Chris Sale, man.
Exactly.
And look at what he's done the last two times out. It's okay.
It's okay to struggle as a pitcher. It happens, especially to the young ones, especially when we've just seen the only thing we've seen of them since they become to the big club is success. And so, you're going to have these type of hills and valleys and things like that. Not saying that, okay, it's about time to send him to go down or anything. I don't think he's nowhere near being a wankster. He's got to pitch better. He knows that. They know that. And hopefully tonight going against the Reds, he can get that, because I would love to see him get a nicer. I mean, obviously you want them all to pitch well, but, you know, this is the reason, because like you said, Abe, he started out so well. He was the best pitcher in the rotation. He won pitcher of the month last month. I mean, all these different things. You saw the accolades. You just want to see him get back to that, and hopefully that starts tonight. But more than anything, let's get this offense going. If somebody, you know, as far as let's hit some home runs with people on base. Let's get the clutch hitting. Nick Lodolo?
Lodolo, I think. Yeah, I never heard of him.
He righty lefty.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, no, it don't matter.
I only wrote down a couple of facts here. Not all.
Lodolo. Yeah, well, him, yeah. But no, they're not afraid to get to 500. I would like to see them get to 500.
Terrifying. It's a problem.
It's been an uphill climb. We understand that. And they've been at this position and then went back two games. But I don't see that happening. They should win. I'm with you. I wish it was a day game. But I guess because they're going just straight up to Pittsburgh, it's not a big deal. But, yeah, they need this one. Go to Pittsburgh. They got to face Skeeny while they're up there.
No, I think they're missing him.
No Skeeny?
Yeah.
So there you go then. There you go.
I think this would be a very good series win. I think anytime you're dealing with four games, it's going to be difficult. So I think this would be a good series win. I'm going to be honest. Little bummed out we haven't seen more from Elly De La Cruz. He has not looked or felt like a superstar in this series.
Yeah. Why the hell are you disappointed then?
I don't know, man. I like the guy. I want to see him do things that guys on the Braves can't do.
Yeah, when they don't play against the Braves.
Well, I mean, sure, but I also like a little bit of respect for it, and it hasn't felt. I don't know. Am I crazy?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
why the hell would I?
Would I have been crazy if I?
Why the hell do I? Last time he had a damn cycle against. You wanted to see that, Abe?
Yes, I would.
You wanted to see that?
Bo's giving us thumbs up. Like, no skeins. I was like, I don't know, man. Like, even if he goes eight innings of one hit ball, like I wouldn't mind watching Skeens.
Well, go get the baseball package.
I have it. Thank you, T-Mobile. I appreciate that.
So there you go. You can watch him. I don't want to see him do it against my damn team. What kind of thing is that?
Come on. I don't know. Maybe you're probably right. I'm probably out of my mind.
I think I'm right on this one.
He hasn't felt like a superstar this year. I don't know.
And I mean, it could be. I mean, you remember we talked. I don't know if we talked off there or on there about it. You know, he was lead off there, put him in a new place. Could that be it for the slow start? How are they playing?
Different thing.
And he's still just like every like we talk about. He's still a young, he's a fun player to watch and everything like that. And you saw in the last game his ability to when you know.
Yeah. No, he's got it.
Special, he's a special, special talent. But yeah, I don't want to see him go off on us.
Can we talk about how fun it was to watch Dylan Lee pick off that dude at first last night? And also for Matt Olson to immediately realize it and kind of give like the holding fist pump.
Yes.
I thought that was great. We don't see a lot of pickoffs.
Not anymore, really, because of the – is it probably because of the limitation of how many times you get to throw over there?
I think that's part of it. I also have – you seen a guy throw over a third time? Because the guy gets the base, but you could get right. if you – I don't think I've seen a third throw over there. I thought we'd see more of that, like more runners doing, like, stop start or delayed steals to try and draw a throw. But we haven't really seen that. But Dylan Lee with that pickoff there – what was that, in the eighth inning? I really enjoyed that. Just one of the things. When we come back, we got to talk about the Atlanta Falcons rookie draft picks. And again, we might be talking with a couple of them today, but some of the new numbers have been announced. As you might expect, Falcons fans are in their bag. And you, Randy, kind of talked about the potential of it happening.
Yeah.
It happened.
You did the rundown, right?
Yeah.
Jalen Walker will wear 11 and 27.
Yeah.
Want to make sure you got that right.
You know what's funny is I actually saw other errors and reprinted it a second time.
You missed it a third time.
I did. And it's copy and pasted twice, so in the next hour you'll see it incorrect there as well.
There we go.
But I appreciate you looking at the rundown.
Hey, you know, I had to help
Details matter.
I had to help you out.
All right, when we come back, we'll also talk a little bit about the NBA playoffs, although we'll get more into that in the 40 segment as well. It's Abe Gordon filling in for Andy Bunker today alongside Randy McMichael. The Midday Show on a Trillville Thursday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Drake Baldwin sends it out deep to right center. At the track, at the wall, and it's gone. Baldwin gets the Braves on the board in the fifth.
Well, we talked about it. When he's in there, he contributes.
But he never seems to have a bad at bat.
No, he did it again.
One of the few offensive highlights there, Drake Baldwin with the solo shot yesterday. The only Braves player with a multi-hit game as well. So a little bit more comfortable there with Drake Baldwin. It was still times later in that game where like, should we pinch hit Sean Murphy there? It didn't make a difference either way. One of the pinch hits, Randy, that did have some people raising some eyebrows was Eddie Rosario in for Eli White.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, okay. Like, I'm supposed to freak out about, like.
Yeah. That was the worst at bat. Like, to lose a game on Eddie Rosario, I was sitting there like, oh, okay. Yeah. Last out, last hit of the day, Eddie Rosario. There's nobody else out there, huh, Snit? Nobody that you want to put in. All right, no problem. We'll ride or die with Eddie right there.
He wasn't there to try and put together an inning. He tried to tie the game.
Yes.
I think the first one went straight back and the other one was not in the strike zone.
Yeah,
but I don't mind it. Like, I mean,
no, I mean, everybody, there's going to be multiple guys this season that are going to be up at that position where Eddie is and do exactly what happened to Eddie. I understand that. But I wish it was somebody else other than Eddie then. Can I say it like that? I just wish it was somebody else other than Eddie.
No, I get it. I know.
We don't have Kelnick anymore. That's the only other option there would have been.
Yeah, Kelnick.
There's no lefty bat on the
Kelnick's.
Bench.
You know, well, put a damn righty in, man. I understand the strategy behind every.
You would have left Eli White in?
Why not?
If we had that golden at bat rule, we could have put Austin Riley back up.
Is he not playing well? Eli White.
I think you were looking for one swing, one run, and I just don't know if Eli White is any more likely to give you that than Eddie Rosario.
Eli White is horrible against righties.
I understand that. I get it. I understand.
And Eddie has actually had success against the pitcher that was on
the strike. I saw the stat of Eddie versus this guy.
You also saw the first swing.
I saw that. And that first one, I was like, oh, hell. Let me go into the damn dishwasher.
You know what I love, though?
I had no confidence.
You didn't.
No confidence.
But what I loved is that Eddie stepped up to the plate like, I'm
going
to tie this game.
Where the hell was he going?
He thought he was tying this game, dude.
I love Eddie Rosario for what he did for this squad. And he was magical.
Swing as hard as you can, Eddie.
He was magical, man. But damn, Eddie.
You like how the FanDuel broadcasters were like, as the at-bat's happening, like Braves fans will always love him for what he did. They're like,
I love him.
This guy's not going to come through for you now, so we'll point out
what
he did for you in the past.
Saying, we don't believe in Eddie, so let's make sure we let them know what Eddie has done for this organization. But, yeah, I mean, you're going to lose. You know, it's not very often that you're going to sweep a four-game series.
Got to get it tonight, though.
Yeah, but yeah, 500 tonight. We talked earlier, and we'll continue to talk about Schwelle needs a good start.
Yeah,
we'd like to see
absolutely.
Him with a good start. And obviously, you want to see the bats get going. But, yeah, more than anything, watching this young man get on track. But go get the damn win.
There you go. That one's at 7:15 tonight. Falcons rookie minicamp tomorrow, and ahead of the guys taking the field for the first time in their jerseys, they have announced the numbers. James Pierce Jr. is going to wear number 27. Xavier Watts is going to wear 31. Billy Bowman Jr. will take on 33. And Jack Nelson is going to wear number 69.
Okay.
The discussion, however, is surrounding their first overall pick, Jalen Walker, who is going to don jersey number 11.
Well, that's what he wore at Georgia. Obviously, we know the 11 here is Julio Jones. I said it a couple days ago.
I
would be surprised if they gave him 11, but not shocked because he's first round draft pick. It's not going to be, you know, what was the kid, the undrafted free agent corner, Kobe? Yeah, Kobe, you remember the pitch he had at number 2 when the Falcons jersey? That's not going to happen. But I do believe that, you know, if this was third round Jalen Walker,
right,
he would not be number 11.
Now, there are still some Falcons fans who are kind of up in arms with the no one should ever wear number 11 again.
I thought somebody, and they got it right finally, that was, you know, a straight up baller wouldn't wear Mike's number.
Well, Young-Wei Koo had
Mike's number.
He was falling for a little bit.
Whatever, man.
Pro bowler.
Whatever. I'm talking about swaggy.
Of course. And it certainly fits.
Yeah,
it certainly fits. Is it easier to take, I guess, being a defensive player and not, like, if it were another receiver, it'd be a lot different, right?
That'd be a little weird. But, I mean, you know, Jalen and you know, him and Julio about the same. Him and Julio about the same size anyways. But, it's not a big deal to me. But I can understand how, you know, when fans get loyal to a number. Like, I was talking about up there in New York City with LT. That's different. Like, that's completely different, in my opinion. Because as great as who is, he ain't LT. LT is a different level of rooms of all-time greats. But who's a all-time great Falcon, one of the best receivers of his generation, one of the best receivers I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Going to be a Hall of Famer. But, I'm not.
And, like, overall, the best-case scenario is Julio joins the Ring of Honor as number 11 and Jalen Walker joins the Ring of Honor at number 11.
You hope so.
Down
right?
the road.
You would hope
I mean,
so. You would hope so. But, I mean, I don't see the big deal with it. But, I do understand people getting upset about it.
Nick Saban is expected to co-lead a presidential commission on college sports reform. Everyone wanted Saban to be a commissioner.
What a freaking joke. That's all
you don't
I'm
think
saying.
They're going to get what much accomplished?
What a freaking joke. This is a distraction from something. But no, I don't. Nothing's going to happen.
Do you think he thinks he's going to get something accomplished?
No.
Or is he just like, I don't know, I'm kind of bored. Like,
he didn't even
Kalen DeBoer hanging out.
I know Nick. Nick didn't ask for this. All right. He did not go and say, hey, let me be head of the committee. No, that's not what happened. But good luck. That's all I say. Good luck.
Yikes. In hockey, because I know we're going to get to the NBA. In hockey, the Maple Leafs take a 2-0 lead over the Panthers it was a fun game last night, 4-3 win.
No, it was not.
Wait, hockey can't be fun?
No, the Panthers lost.
I know.
Yeah.
Are you a Panthers guy?
Obviously.
Okay.
But no, that's not fun at all. But I'm curious because when you look at because I'm sure I was trying to keep track of the last time a Canadian team won.
I think it's like 93.
It's still that long of a drought. Okay. I mean, Toronto was there, the hope.
Yeah.
You know, and so, I mean, I don't want them to win, obviously because they're playing the Florida Panthers, but I'd like keeping that streak alive.
Okay, they got a couple other opportunities, the entire country of Canada, right? Because Winnipeg Jets, now they lost last night 3-2, but Winnipeg.
I don't mess with Winnipeg.
Because they stole our team?
No, because I've been there and it's ragged as hell.
Edmonton is playing the Knights, Golden Knights. They, I mean, so, you know,
I mean,
a couple opportunities.
Well, I like opportunity. I like Florida to win it again because, again, I like wearing my hockey jersey. And so I'm looking for it. I wore it last time when they won and damn near sweat to death because it was hot as hell.
Well, they call them sweaters for a reason.
It was hot as hell in this studio when I had it on with no undershirt, just without bad.
Mallory Swanson, better known for her time with the U.S. Women's National Team, also the wife of Dansby. Announced the pregnancy, expecting their first child.
Oh, congratulations to them. All I care about in new baby news is my main man, Oren, and his lovely wife, Brittany, having their big bundle of joy, little man, yesterday. So that's all I mean. But congratulations to Dansby and Miss Mallory. Beautiful thing. How's that Dansby playing this year?
Not great, Bob.
Not good?
Okay. Not great.
Okay.
Better than Mike Soroka.
What happened to Mike?
And he's just not good either.
Oh, okay.
And better than Charlie Morton.
Yeah, I saw the stats that Grant just put up about Tyler.
It's bad.
Yeah.
And Soroka's had all sorts. Now, Soroka's
– Tyler's old, man.
We may see Soroka coming up because the Nationals are eventually coming here. I don't know if he'll still be in the majors by the time the Nationals come here. That's like 4 days away. He may not still be in the majors. And then last night in basketball, we're going to talk more about this in our next segment as well. The Knicks and the Celtics, 91-90, and the Knicks get another win. And it's just one of those things, Randy, where I almost can't believe what I'm watching. And if it were a different team than Boston, maybe I could try and understand it. And I get that Jaylen Brown has some knee issues, and he's not going to be, nor is he currently 100%.
I don't give a damn about no injuries. Nobody. They done blew two 20-point leads.
Getting there.
You can talk about injuries and what the hell's wrong with Kristaps Porzingis. They blew two 20-point leads.
Jason Tatum was on the Olympic team. There's only 12 guys that get to do that, as we know here in Atlanta, because one of ours isn't part of that group. That guy's too good to give up a 21-2 run in the fourth quarter of a game.
No.
Like, there's just no excuse, and
I love Jason Tatum. I always talk about how great he is. This dude just
– You can say it.
He just
– Come on.
He misses something. I think he's one of the most talented players in the league. I do. But, yeah, he just
– say it then.
And down the east stretch, he just – But they talk about Jaylen Brown. Look what Jaylen did last night in the fourth quarter. Neither one of them played well.
Jason Tatum has – he's missing the mentality to be the best player in the world.
Yes. I agree.
It's just not there.
I agree. And we can talk about the whole Kobe mimicking and the mama mentality. He don't got it. You could talk.
That's the guy you have to bring up.
Yeah, and everybody, because that's what everybody always talks about, mama mentality. That dude's a different cat, man. Yeah, you could talk about the mentality, but you ain't him.
He's a nice.
He's a different.
I don't want to understate Jason
24,
Tatum.
God bless. He was different.
He was a killer.
He was like strong coke. He didn't talk about it. He wasn't.
Jason Tatum doesn't have that.
No.
And it's cost them now twice. Yep. And ultimately, we'll see what else it costs them.
Hey, I saw the stats. They missed 45 uncontested threes. So,
in the first two games combined. So, they are 25 for 100.
Yes.
There are people out there being like, I can hit a quarter of my NBA three attempts. They wouldn't, but there are people saying that. We'll also talk about OKC evening things up and get you set for tonight's game in the NBA. The NBA playoffs have been fascinating and really, really fun. The conversation continues. It's a midday show. Abe Gordon filling in for Andy Bunker alongside Randy McMichael on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, yeah. Dude, does Tyrese Haliburton look like him? Yes. Okay, I thought it was just me. All right, stop what you're doing.
Welcome back in the midday show. Abe Gordon, Randy McMichael, just filling in today for Andy. I know when you guys were out on spring break, did you get bombarded with the same messages that he got about, like, just panicked listeners hearing me?
No, I turn off my notifications when I'm off vacation.
You were also, like, gone.
Yeah, when I'm on vacation, I look, but I turn my notifications off. But I did see, like, people I won't say complaining.
No, you can't. Definitely complaining.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is, man. I mean, people like what they like. They like me and Andy.
I get that. I don't blame them. I like you and Andy.
I'm not saying they don't like you. They just like us more.
I agree.
That's
I like you guys more.
It's called the Andy and Randy Show, you know. But, you know, it is, you know, but as in most in all occupations, there's vacation time. And you take advantage of it.
I
learned this when I first worked here before we had the new vacation policy that we have. I remember Mike Bell, when I used to work with Mike, he said, I mean, they don't roll over. They're not, you know, you can't take them into the next year. So, you know, as long as you got them, you go ahead and take them and all those different things. You know me, if I'm not working, I'm on vacation. You know, I can't just not, like, in December usually, when you always come to us at the beginning of December, Mike wants to, if you're going to be off in December because you get us the dates and everything like that, like, y'all got to make me take off. So I'm like, well, what am I going to do? Just sit at home and do what? Mess around with these damn kids that's on Christmas break. I'd rather come in. Man, that's a tight one. I'd rather be at home with all my kids on spring break. I mean, I'm sorry, on Christmas break, or be here with Abe. That's a tough one, man. That's a tough one. That's a tough one right there.
Sounds like it's an easy one.
That's a tough one right there.
Sounds like it's an easy
one. Yeah, you are the kids at home. Because you know when I'm at home, I like silence. But during those breaks, there is no silence. There is daddy canna.
I'm only 3 hours, though.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's what I said.
You at least get the silence of the commute.
Yeah.
look at it that way.
I'll look at that with the silence of the commute. But, I was like, when I saw Ty Halliburton, I was like, damn, he reminds me of somebody. And Bo played this, so I was like, that's who it is. Damn Humpty Hump.
I want to chat NBA playoffs here, and we're going to get more into the Knicks Celtics and also the late game series Nuggets Thunder. I had someone hit me up on Twitter, Randy, after Halliburton's win over the Cavs. And he said there's no clutch players in the NBA anymore.
Who said that?
A guy on Twitter. And because I tweeted out or posted on X, whatever you want to call it, like I've seen more collapses and choke jobs in this NBA playoffs, like already through like a game or two games of the second round, than I can recall any full postseason in the NBA. I just don't remember this many favored teams or significant fourth quarter leads going by the wayside. Right. He said there's just no clutch players. And I'm like, I don't know how you could say there's no clutch players a day after you get that three from Jalen Brunson, the same night you get that shot from Tyrese Halliburton.
What is he including? Is it like
I think the presumption was
at the end of the game.
Donovan Mitchell went for 48, and no one else stepped up to help him.
So that's not clutch? I mean, I never understand.
I had confusion because, like, you're not going to have 10 guys on the court that are clutch. Right. And, like, one guy's clutch can be more than the other guy's clutch.
That's
like,
true.
In that moment, Tyrese Halliburton.
Those are the guys you paid the big bucks to be that
now
guy.
Now, I will say this. Yeah. There's a real problem with free throw shooting and inbounding.
Oh, my God. Just unbelievable, ain't it?
What are we doing?
Yeah, it's, like, unbelievable. Like, now, how – the free throw thing is what it is. But it, just the laziness
in college,
of inbounding pass.
It costs Duke.
Just the laziness of it.
Is it just – you don't work on it
No,
enough?
You work on it. Like, again, the laziness
of it. It seems like a simple fundamental.
That's what I'm saying. You work on all these different things, all these fundamental things. Like, that's a fundamental thing. Get the ball in bounds. Now – there's different pressure, especially late in the game. Guys bouncing around, guys are tugging, and you're trying to run the play, rubbing the guy off screens and things like that. But still, just the laziness of the inbound passes is just baffling. And then you think about going down the stretches, you know, when stuff is going so fast and you're going so fast, and you go back to Garrett Trent Jr., who had an outstanding game against the Pacers and has the two turnovers that because you're going so damn fast that you're just – not processing, and you turn the ball over. But, yeah, just a simple damn inbound pass. But
I also think in line with that is what we saw and what we heard yesterday. And I'm referring to what I would call bad coaching. Maybe you feel otherwise, but
– he just called you back out. He said he wanted you to look at his words. Not many clutch players anymore. Those that are don't get the help when it's time. Donovan scored 48. I mean, okay, I still don't understand that. Like,
yeah, me not having read the tweet on air doesn't
I'm
point.
Just curious. I mean, like, when we talk about the clutchness of it, like they didn't – Cleveland didn't lose the game because of Donovan Mitchell.
No.
Yeah, I mean
– free throw shooting and inbound pass.
Inbound pass, and they choked down the stretch. The whole team choked down the stretch. But, yeah, I don't – that clutch stuff is always – comes off as, like, are you expecting, like, it's always, of course, obviously, when we talk clutch, we talk late game situation, late game moments. But the definition, and I always look at it like, okay, if you, is it a basis of your paycheck or whatever like that, and somebody else comes up clutch? Like, people look at Jason Tatum today, it's not clutch, right or wrong?
Absolutely right.
Okay. Now, Jalen Brunson, he won the award, so obviously he's a clutch player of the year. But if he misses the shot, does that take away his clutchness? I take the clutch part, me, for some reason, I take it from game to game, play to play. You know, because I've seen so many great players who are supposed to be clutch don't come through. I know they say, well, they come through more than not. But, you know, like Michael Jordan, you remember I remember being a kid, one of my favorite Michael Jordan, I have the poster up there. He's talking about how many game-winning shots he's missed. And
I was just going to bring that up, yeah.
But, you know, we always look at Mike.
You're not allowed to miss one anymore, though.
Exactly. You always look at Mike as clutch. But I just remember that poster as a kid, the statements and the quotes, and he talked about, you know, missing more than all those different things. But are you going to quit shooting it? No.
No. Let's hear how things ended up for Boston last night. Jason Tatum gets the ball in his hands and just gets put in a bad, bad spot.
Tatum across midcourt with 10. Top of the key with 8. Defended by Robinson with 7. Right wing 3. Crossover. Foul line with 4. Left block. Step back. Stolen by Bridges. Bridges trucks it down court. They've done it again. They've done it again. The New York Knicks take both in Boston and a 2-0 lead heading back to the Mecca.
He had no plan right there because they ran the play
right
with like 18 seconds and it was so easy. I think that the Knicks let him score, but it was a great play call. Had the pin, he comes off, and that time, you know, the center, he just was like lead footed and he walked past him. I mean, JT blew past him. The second time, he didn't blow past him. You know, the defense was there and they collapsed and JT didn't have a plan.
He swings back out towards the elbow.
But the thing about it was, why was he
I think he did panic with the clock a little bit.
They forced him all the way left. And then he's like on the baseline. Was he going to turn around? But then I saw Jalen Brown. He's going to throw it to him.
I thought he was shooting.
I don't know. But I thought that he just didn't have a plan once the initial blow by didn't work. You saw him lose the ball a little bit with the left hand. And then they put him in a situation where the help was right there.
Now, he didn't have a plan because, in my opinion, the coach didn't have a plan. Well, and this falls on Joe Mazzulla.
You think he should call a timeout?
I think you shouldn't call the exact same play twice in a row.
I think that I think if they were going to do something, because what he said, he didn't want to call a timeout because he didn't want to get Brunson and them off the floor. He wanted to stay. He wanted that defensive unit to stay on the floor. Then why don't you put Brunson into action? You had plenty of time to run a play with Brunson on the court, so put him into action to get JT one-on-one with Brunson. But, yeah, I mean, I just thought the Knicks defensively, that last play, Hartenstein was just – he didn't get beat as bad as he did the first time. JC Brant just blew by him, the back pick. Shoom. The back pick was coming, but Hartenstein fought through it and was able to hold off JT. But
not
I still
Hartenstein.
Don't think. I'm sorry. Who am I thinking about? God dog it. Give me his name, Abe.
I don't know who you're talking about.
It'll come to me. But anyways, they were in a situation where when the Knicks needed a defensive stop, they got it.
Yeah, I mean, you're going on a 21-2 run. This, to me, really isn't about the late game Jason Tatum, but from 8:40?
Yes.
Left in this fourth quarter.
How many shots they missed in a row?
Boy, I didn't keep track, but it was bad. Yeah. They didn't have a field goal for 6.5 minutes, and that's where you lose the game.
13 shots.
It's not in
a 20-point lead in the NBA is really nothing. We understand
in the playoff,
but in the playoffs, the pace. But you're 20 up,
points
you're
when the
up 20 freaking points two times. The Knicks, I don't want to take nothing away from the Knicks because the Knicks, they end up winning the game. We talked before this series, we said, what the Knicks want to do is see if they can get the ball, see if they can get the game in the fourth quarter and allow Jalen Brunson to go do his thing. Jalen wasn't great last night, but he was great when they needed him. And we know that when he gets to his spot, that mid-range on the left-hand side where he gets a little separation from Jrue Holiday, that's going in, which it did. But, I mean, the Celtics stars were great. JT was awful last night. Jalen Brown wasn't that much better. But if we keep talking about these missed threes, that's who they are.
Yeah.
But they had open looks. That's the thing about it is, so you have all these open looks, and yet you just keep damn shooting and keep damn missing. And I thought Lex said it perfect yesterday. Like, they're playing like they're – and a desperation with 3 seconds left on the clock in the game.
Yeah, I got a couple things that I kind of 1,000-foot view on this. This as much as you're not trying to take, I don't mean you specifically, anyone's not trying to take credit away from the Knicks, I don't look at this as a comeback. It's a collapse. It just has to be.
I'm not gonna. I mean, I think if you are a Knicks fan, I'm not gonna get upset with you because you said they took it because they did
take it. Right.
But I mean, if you want to look at Boston, they had. It's not like they had open looks. They just missed.
Yeah. The other thing for me is I know it's a 20-point lead, but it's not a regular season 20-point lead.
No.
A 20-point lead when the winning team scores 91 points is significant.
Well, you look at all the playoffs. You look at most of the playoff scores.
Except for late last night where they dropped the buck 50.
You look at the playoffs and the scores, they've all been lower than regular season.
And that's normal.
Yeah.
Is this series over?
No.
Okay. You're in the same.
No.
What does Boston need to do?
Make their shots.
No. I mean, in the series, they're not going to New York.
Yes.
Are they okay with this? Are they survive this round with a split in New York, or do they need to come home 2-2?
Oh, they come 2-2.
So you're the same way I am.
Yeah, I mean, but they're one of the best road teams.
Yeah.
So I mean, but the thing about it is they hit their shots. We're not having this conversation. But the thing about it is what is their plan B? You know what I mean? In the first two games, it's been their plan A. This just do what they do as far as the shooting of it and everything like that. This adjusts. I saw one play where JT got the ball on the left wing and backed down his opponent, the defender, all the way down, got an easy bucket. Why don't you do more of that?
Yeah.
Why don't you do more of that?
Yeah. We've got the Celtics in a surprise 2-0 deficit. We've got the Cavaliers in a surprise 2-0 deficit. That one's to the Pacers. I would say a little bit surprising is the Timberwolves in a 1-0 deficit, only because of the injury to Steph Curry.
And, they better win tonight.
We'll get to that tonight. The Thunder, after I don't know if they physically saw what happened to the Knicks, but they weren't going to play around with the Nuggets anymore. And this one to me feels like it's done. I just the Nuggets got the pedigree, a championship team. They may get one more. I don't see how this series goes 7. The Thunder put it on them 149-106.
I think a lot of that had to do with Denver, like being content with getting one, especially coming off the short rest and everything like that. A grueling game against them. They put up no resistance yesterday against the OKC Thunder. Give them credit. I mean, they went out there and like their leader Shea said after the game one loss, you know, it's just one. But we got to find a way to bounce back, and did they bounce back? That was a straight up ass whooping last night.
Yeah, again,
straight up.
And you and I saw the same thing.
After the first quarter,
there was a minute and change left, and they had 40-16 or something like that. And I was like, it's just not worth me staying up. Like I'm gonna go ahead and get my melatonin going and go to bed.
Right,
and that's what that was. There was a stretch for a moment that I think it got back to within 10 or 12. And I just kind of
when you look at those, like, is this a real thing or is it like they're clear?
I wasn't paying enough attention to like who was in the game at the time did they get it to within 12 with SJ on the bench and he's going to come back in and go on a personal 8-0 run and immediately get it to 20 again, which again I didn't stay up for, but he might have done that because again 149. To 106. That's the biggest blowout we've had in the playoffs.
Yeah.
This I think. So there you go. Warriors and T-Wolves tonight. Ant-Man needs this.
He needs to go. Yeah. He needs to get started early too. That's the thing about him, is like they feed off of, you know, even if he's not shooting, because he didn't play his best in that last game against the Lakers, but him in attack mode and things like that is the best thing. We talked yesterday. I mean, they got the one on the road. Don't know when Steph's coming back. This is a grade one, so it could be sometime next. He's definitely not playing
at least
tonight.
The week they've
at least
said.
That week. And so can Jimmy get them another one?
I know you brought that up, but
that's going to be the thing.
It's playoff Jimmy, and that's what it has to be now. We'll be interested to see how their offense looks without Curry. We got a lot of football coming your way here still. Obviously, the NFL no huddle. I got a quarterback grab bag. I'm interested to hear some thoughts from Randy on that. And then potentially some of the new Falcons rookies, Xavier Watts, Billy Bowman, Jack Nelson, all going to be on the channel today. Might be with myself and Randy, might be with Duke Sabel. So stick around. Hour number two of the Midday Show, Abe Gordon filling in for Andy Bunker alongside Randy McMichael. Got Bo hanging out with us as well on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.